Oh, hey, you guys, before we get into today's episode, I just want to let you know about a couple of things. The first is that we have a coaching opportunity for you. It is a self-paced coaching group to take you through the content of the Miracle Moment. Every week, I break down one practical teaching, I coach a guest, and there is an a challenge for you that week. And so if you just need the accountability and the community of a group of people to walk through the book with live Q&A with me as well at the end, then I just want to invite you to a 30 Days to Your Miracle coaching group. You can find out more about it at NicoleEunice.com/miracle moment. And just for you guys, we have a special 30% off coupon to that coaching group. The coupon code is LBR30. And if you sign up today, you can start the group with us. We are beginning on June 16th. So don't wait. Jump in with us before you go any further. One more thing, guys. I know that the Miracle Moment Participant Guide, which is the Bible study that accompanies the book, is out of stock on Amazon right now. I want you to know you can find it on my website. So go on over to NicoleEunice.com/Miracle Moment and we'll get one right out to you. All right, y'all, here we go. What you are doing is you're placing yourself in a posture to say, I am willing to be wrong. I am willing to have my perspective shifted. Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Eunice, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together. Well, hey, you guys, welcome back to Let's Be Real. This is your host, Nicole, and what a time. I feel like I've said what a time at the beginning of this episode, like on every episode, because truly we launched Let's Be Real in a pandemic, and it may be a time. We may be coming out of that time, but truly every single episode, it's been appropriate to say what a time. What a time it's been. How are you all doing? I am just barely holding on, everyone. Lots of good things, but you know, good stress is still stress. That's one of the things I learned very early on in counselor school. Good stress is still stress. So sometimes people, like when they have good stress, they think, oh, I should feel guilty because these are things I've wanted in my life. And yet I am just a walking anxiety attack. And I'm like, well, that's because stress is, you know, even good things are still good. Stress is still stress. It's just true. And we've had a lot going on in our family and in our life. Launching a book is no joke. And as you guys all know, all of you who are with me here on Let's Be Real, with me out there on the gram, out there in the Facebook groups, you know that we've been talking a lot about this book launch because that's what you got to do. But I live in reality, people, and I know, like, other than let's be very real right now. I mean, the only book that I can think of that people were like, when is it coming out, is a Harry Potter book. Like in my entire lifetime, the only book that has just like brought up just a cultural like goodwill, like let's get dressed up because Harry Potter's coming out. So the Miracle Moment is not Harry Potter, nor will it ever be. And that's the reality of books, is like, guys, I got information for you. I'm trying to communicate in a way that's hopefully entertaining and teaches you, because at the end of the day, that's really what I am. I'm just a teacher, and I just want to teach you some things that I think can help you with your life. I get it. Like, it's not Harry Potter. We are not lined up with our wands, like, for this book. And I live in reality about that. But at the same time, when you're the author and you're like trying to make it happen and you're hoping to get some, you know, just like buzz so people know about the book. So any little thing helps and works. And so it's just been great to get the book out there in the world and get to talk about it some and realize, like, oh, there's, you know, tools in there that are actually really helpful, it seems, as I'm getting to chat with people about it. So that's been really fun. But good stress, there's an example of good stress. Okay, here's another example of good stress. Right around April 1st, well, actually April 2nd, I had surgery on my ACL. And as I said, was talking with a friend of mine, and this particular friend was like, what I like to do when I'm in stressful situations is try to think about like bigger life-changing decisions I can also make in that stressful situation. So I found myself laid up after surgery and I was like, you know what we should do? We should move. So I'm making a joke of it. We've actually been talking about it for a while because where we live in Richmond, we sort of live outside of the city. Even though our like street address is still Richmond, we don't live close into the city. And both of our older kids go to school at a charter school in the city. So they like travel 25 minutes every day into the city. And our whole life was like moving us toward more central location as far as the city, just some different friend groups with my kids and life and the work that I get to do with Churchill, with an organization in the area of Churchill in Richmond, where I help lead an organization as the chairman. All of that was leading us like just east of where we live. Like we want to go east. And with the pandemic, we had more time to really dream and think about what our life was going to bring. And just an opportunity came up and it just seemed like the right time. Maybe that right time was the fact that I was laying on the couch. Maybe that right time was the Lord. I don't know, but that's what it was. And it was like, I have a great idea. Let's move. So like literally on the day, like the day after I had knee surgery, it was like, let's make plans to move. So we put our house on the market. It was very stressful. Also good stress, like all of these things we have placed upon ourselves as good things, but there are many of them. All at the same time, my first baby is graduating from high school. And I remember being around moms and being like a young mom where my kids were young and moms would like be talking about high school graduation. And literally in the back of my mind, I would be like, what is the big deal? What's the big deal? Because like, I don't remember, like high school graduation wasn't a big deal to me as a person. And high school graduation wasn't a big deal, like generally in my family. Part of that was because we grew up in the military and like the life, you just, your whole life is oriented around the value system of the military and just the idea of like this big mission that the whole family's on. And that is in no way to downplay individual achievements in the family. It's just everything was set in a slightly different context. And when you're in the military, generally you move around a lot, no matter what branch you're in. And my family, my dad was in the Army, which is a move around a lot kind of branch. And so you would just be in a new school all the time. So you also just didn't have that same framework of like, oh my gosh, I grew up with these kids, or this has been the place where I've had my, you know, my athletic career and all of these families have been in my life since a child. I didn't experience any of that. But now here I find myself rooted in this town and I have this baby that I can remember his little baby face in from, you know, the baptism at his church, at our church to his, him at the children's museum to the site. Like I like literally drive down a street and I'm like, I'm driving down memory lane at all times. And I just didn't have that experience growing up. So it's kind of hit me like a freight train, not going to lie. Like I'm feeling it. I'm like, okay, our child's graduating high school. There's like things we want to do. There's people we want to gather. There's celebrations that we want to have. All of these things are happening. And oh, by the way, I also have two other children who shockingly continue to have needs, even when I am obviously preoccupied with my own needs, i.e. book launch, ACL, move. So graduation. So that's the story, guys. That's what's actually going on. I am going to get to a point, if you are wondering, we are going to talk about how to fight well. But I brought all of that up because I'm just living in it. You're living in it. And the reality is when we have those kinds of things going on, and then you just layer on a global pandemic that we've all been in, when we're in stress, like it just means that we engage with one another with like a less of a filter, less of just like maybe some of the ways that we can avoid, to be honest, some of the ways we can avoid conflict, some of the ways we can sort of sidestep conflict with one another because we have our niceties on. And one of the things that happens in stress is like some of those filters come off or they aren't in place quite the same way. And we can have that be a like, it can be an opportunity. You may not like yourself and the way that you show up, and you may find that you are behaving, speaking, feeling in a way that like is not really who you want to be. But here's the secret, guys. That is actually who we are. Like, the person you are on a bad day is the person you are. And the person you are when you're stressed is the actual person that you are. I'm not saying that you're not going to grow from that, but instead of thinking that this is the exception to the rule, sometimes it's actually good in that stress to say, okay, what is this teaching me about myself? Because things that are deep down in there, places that are a little dark and twisty, the way that I actually feel, judge, behave, condemn, whatever, is coming to the surface. And we can really use that. So I want to talk about in those times of stress. And these are just little pieces of, you know, hopefully wisdom that I'm giving to you that are based on concepts from the miracle moment. My real hope and desire is if you're listening and you're like, oh, that was actually helpful, you might consider a longer form engagement than this 20-minute podcast. Truly. I want to say that. It's not because the podcast is free and you have to buy the book. It's because this is just a teeny bit. This isn't going to be enough, but it's hopefully like a taste of something. And if you're like, ooh, that was actually something that would work for me, just know that there's a lot more to what I'm about to explain. There's a lot more to it. There's some exercises. There's some ways to actually engage in this. I'm condensing multiple chapters into like 10 minutes. So just want to put that disclaimer out in case it sounds really easy right now. It's not easy. It's possible. It's good. You will like yourself more, but it does take a little work. Okay. So let me use an example from my own life, of which there are multitudes, because when you, I was like, I told my husband yesterday, thankfully it looks like all is well on the home front. We're going to be able to sell our home and, you know, move on with the plans that we have. But it was touch and go there for a couple of weeks, just as we were working through it. And I told him yesterday, I'm like, I don't really think we showed up that well for each other in the last couple of weeks. Like, we may want to revisit like how we communicate. And thankfully, the reason you can hear me laughing, if you think that I would even be talking about this with you, if it was truly like where we've been in the past, where like all my identity and all the drama and all the feelings of all the resentment and everything that was unhealed and unreconciled comes to bear in an argument. You know, I'm talking to some of you guys out there, you know that feeling. You can't laugh about it because you're like, we're so locked up. Like, we are so at odds. We cannot work through this thing. But thankfully, we have kind of worked through that thing, quote unquote. We've been married almost 24 years. We know each other well. We've navigated ups and downs a lot. And we've had lots of downs and we've had lots of stuck places. So the reason we could even have a conversation that would be lighthearted, like, we didn't show up that well for each other in the last couple of weeks, we should work on that, is because we have done a lot of work. And so the principles I'm going to teach you guys, it is exactly these three principles that I've, you know, just grown through my own failing, through being with lots of other people and being like, this is a way that actually helps us get past stuck places. So how to fight well, I want to give you three ideas today on how you can fight well. And what I mean by that is stop trying to not fight at all, because in any relationship, you have two people with competing needs and desires, value systems, and perspectives. Sometimes those needs, desires, value systems, perspectives, sometimes they align. And that is wonderful. It is wonderful. That's usually what brings us together, is some common interests. So we may feel very, very passionately about the U.S. men's soccer team, or I don't, but I just threw that out there as an example for any of you who do. Like, we may feel very, very passionately about the way we want to raise a family. You know, we may have all these things in common, but inevitably, no matter what, we are going to have times where we have competing desires, values, we have competing dreams, and we have competing perspectives. And so the idea that we would never fight in any relationship, that we would never disagree. And that's what I mean by fighting well, is like seeing things differently than one another and going into a direct conversation about that. That's what a real, you know, a fight is. We can do that. And it is inevitable that it will happen. If you never fight at all, what I would say to you is that you are probably sort of sacrificing a lot of who you are. And most of us end up very unhappy in life if we just are consistently sacrificing who we are. We just are too scared or haven't learned or we're nervous or, you know, fearful, whatever, to show up in relationship, like with our own opinion, with our own perspective. We may have found ourselves in dysfunctional relationships ever since our family of origin, where that's the only thing we know. And so we don't even know how to have an opinion or say like, of course I love you and I disagree. Like we don't even know how to do that. That's, and it can, you know, you might wonder, well, why would I rock the boat? Like I feel fine about it. Just trust me on this one. Like over the course of a lifetime, people who consistently sacrifice without any knowledge or self-awareness of just like not showing up fully are generally unhappy. It comes out in physical ways. It comes out in emotional ways. It may come out in addictive sort of patterns in life. Like there's all these things, or you just like might be an unhappy person. And so if that's you and you're like, I just like try to avoid fighting. The first thing to do would be to kind of wake up to yourself. And we talk about that in the miracle moment earlier on. That's not for today. But for those of you who are very awake to yourself and you're like, oh no, I will fight. I will fight my partner. I will tell my roommate how it is. I will go to bat like with a friend, whatever that thing is. I want to give you just three ways that I think you can fight better. You can actually handle fighting better. And this is just the beginning sort of opening piece of how to fight well. Okay, so here we go. Step one. This one is so obvious, guys. People talk about it all the time, but when you actually apply, it's actually really hard to apply, okay? Step one is to assume positive intent, okay? This sounds so easy to do when you're not in an actual fight, when you're not actually mad at someone or frustrated by them, but all you need to do right now is picture someone in your life who is difficult for you or that you were in an argument with. And now I'm going to ask you, could you assume positive intent? And you're like, Nicole, if you heard what they said to me or how they act or how this is so consistent, it always happens this way. I get it. So we get stuck there where we have already made a judgment on another party and why they're doing what they do. And it is very hard for us to come out of that space and say, let me tell myself a story where I assume the most positive intent about this person. And you may be telling yourself a story. I'm not saying that what you're doing is the absolute universal truth. Like, I'm not saying that assuming positive intent about a person is actually their intent. But what happens when you assume positive intent is you can actually go into steps two and three completely differently. And that is a very important part of this method. You cannot do steps two and three that we're going to talk about if you don't do step one. Like if you're just harboring, I know who you are. I know what you're about. I know you're whatever. And you've got that in your mind and you're like, you don't listen to me. You don't see me. You don't know me. You've already made and you've got all this emotional churn. Even if that churn is with like the customer service representative from AT&T, like whatever that churn is, once you get there, you can't do the rest. So assuming positive intent is an act of will. It's like you tell your brain, we are going to imagine the best possible scenario for this person. So like, let's say you get with someone and you find them like, this happens to me. I don't know. I do this all the time because I can get fired up. You guys probably figured that out. You know, you got somebody and they're just like being short or mean or hurt or whatever. And you just want to be mad about it, you know? And instead it's like assuming positive intent. It's like, I'm just going to tell myself a story about how this person's life is going. I'm like, I bet this girl, what if this woman, I'm like, what in my mind? I'm like, what if she is raising three children in virtual school right now? And she works full time and her mother-in-law lives at her house. And She just broke her nail on the way into work and it got, you know, low. You know, when you break your nail low. Sorry, gentlemen. I don't know if you know how this feels. It hurts. Okay. And it's frustrating. And then I'm just imagining she's sitting there and she's like, this day is not going well. And then what happens when I do that is I'm like, I've been that person. I have been in exactly her shoes. I know exactly what that feels like. And what happens is my posture shifts from, why aren't you doing your job and helping me, to she's probably having a bad day. And I have bad days a lot. And it is really helpful when someone's nice when you're having a bad day. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is she just might be like a rude person, but that doesn't help me. Doesn't help me grow into who I want to become. So why not? Why not the act of will? Now that's far from home. Let's go closer to home, closer to home. As my partner, my husband always does this. This is the way he is. Assuming positive intent. Maybe there's something in the story I'm missing. Maybe there's something I don't understand. Maybe there's something I contributed to this. All of that kind of thought can change your posture so that you're in a more open position to receive. Okay. Step one, assume positive intent. Step two, you ready? Step two is seek to understand. Seek to understand. Most of us, when we are in a fight or need to have a fight, we really, 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 really want to explain ourselves badly. Like, we want to make sure that the other party knows why we're upset. We want to really, really make sure. We usually would like to tell them four different ways to Sunday on how they've made us upset. Even when we might like kind of know that we might be to blame, we really want them to know why we were acting the way we were acting, right? Like we want to defend ourselves. It's our human nature. We're like, I'm going to make things right in my world. And what I want to do is have you listen four ways to Sunday on why I'm right or why you caused me to do what I did or whatever, right? So seeking to understand, again, we got ourselves in a posture, assuming positive intent. Now what we're going to do is say, I'm actually here to listen to you. To listen to your side, to hear how you feel, to hear what you have to say and how you would explain it. This is very challenging. But I am telling you, the miracles lie here. The miracles lie here in a position where what happens with step one and two is if you assume positive intent and seek to understand, that is called humility. What you are doing is you're placing yourself in a posture to say, I am willing to be wrong. I am willing to have my perspective shifted. I am willing to listen and understand who you are and where you're coming from. Now, you might say to me, well, Nicole, like, what if I'm upset and the other party doesn't know? So if that's the case, you could say, for instance, to your partner, hey, I felt like we missed each other yesterday when you said X and I said Y, and I was wondering how you feel about it or what was going on with you, or is there anything else you want to say? You can start with an open-ended question. I talk a lot more about this in the book. You don't have time to do all of it right now, but seeking to understand is basically saying, I'm going to show up in a posture of asking questions and sort of laying out and my understanding of what's gone on and trying to get their perspective first. Can you imagine if you just rush in and you're like, I know this is going to happen. This is always what happens. You know, my partner doesn't understand me. They don't see me, or my boss doesn't care about me and they don't even want to know what I think. And all that stuff's already running in your mind. Can you imagine doing all of that and then discovering, oh my gosh, there's a whole nother side of the story that I was completely wrong about. And like, if I just rushed in with all that emotion and all that strength and all that force, and I missed a chance to say like, hey, I feel like something's going on. I just want to hear from your perspective. Like, I might save myself a whole ton of emotional energy and even maybe like some wounding that I might do to the other party based on my judgments of them. Like, I could save myself a whole lot of trouble if in case there's a whole different story that I don't know. Here's a great example. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you where you have like kind of a bad meeting with your boss. And if you're an overthinker like I am, you sort of feel like they didn't hear you or they seemed short or whatever. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. Like, that's it. I am terrible at this and I am terrible at everything I've ever attempted. Why did I even try? It's not that dramatic, but sometimes it is. And you feel like, just feel terrible. And then the next day you discover, oh my gosh, my boss had to put his dog to sleep. Like, that's why he was upset. Like, or she, you know, that's the idea behind it, is like, you want to leave a space. You want to leave an opening in case there's something that you don't know, in case like someone perceived you really off and was like, I don't know. Yeah, I do think things were off yesterday. You had sent me that email that I just felt like you were really upset with me about X, Y, and Z. And you'd be like, what? Oh, I didn't even know. I had no idea that that was what you were experiencing. So when we give ourselves that assumed positive intent and seek to understand, we can just save ourselves from a lot of heartache. It doesn't always work out that way, but you'd be amazed how many of the little snips and disagreements that we get into can be resolved with that posture, okay? Now here's the third thing, last thing for today. The third thing is to own all that you can, but not more than you can. Okay. And here's what I mean by that. Own all that you can. Let's go back to the email example. Let's pretend I've had a bad moment with a coworker or boss. And as I say, like, hey, I feel like things aren't quite right. Like, is everything okay with us? And then your coworker or boss says, yeah, you sent me that email earlier this week and I thought you were upset about X, Y, or Z. Like, and you hear their side of the story, and that's not what you meant by the email at all. But you're practicing empathy. You're practicing humility. So when that happens, before you move on, you can just own all that you can. Owning all that you can, a lot of times, is simply validation. Just validate the other person's story. So when your coworker says, well, you sent me that email, it seemed a little short, I thought I had upset you, you could just validate that and be like, yeah, you know what? I did send that in a hurry. I could see, now that you're explaining it to me, I could see how you could feel that way. Okay, so notice, I didn't apologize. I didn't make up an apology for something that I wasn't apologizing for, but I can validate, okay, from your perspective. Now, let's say we took it a step further and we had a terse conversation around something that needed to happen. And that other person said, yeah, that email was short. And then, do you remember we had that conversation? I felt like you were pretty short with me, like I had messed up or something. So now maybe there is something I can own. Maybe I can step back in that moment and be like, you know what? I was short with that. I was impatient. I did feel frustrated. And I can say, own all that you can. I'm going to own all that I can right now. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for telling me that. I can see where you're coming from. I do think I was actually in a pretty impatient place, and that crossed wires with you. And I just want to say that I'm sorry for that. And I want to validate, like, I'm so grateful that you brought this up, right? So that's like, I'm going to own every part that I can. And a lot of times what we can own is we can validate how the other person might have felt, something that we would have done or like missing, you know, didn't do on purpose necessarily, but we can validate and affirm what they're saying. But we don't want to own more than we can. And this is the little nuance about like truly becoming mature and growing in our relationships that's important. I mean, I see people a lot of times, they either won't own anything, like they will consistently shift blame. They never want to own anything. Or if they own anything, they own everything. Like they don't validate any of their part of it. So for instance, in that example I'm giving with the coworker, what I could do, I can own all that I can, but I'm not going to own more than I can. Because the reality is that person could have come to me, right, and shared with me how they felt, and they didn't. And so now I'm only hearing about it right now. So like I could say like, hey, what could I do different in the future? But I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person and I can't believe I did that. And like, why would I do that? That's not going to help. That's not going to help us move forward. So we can own, like even when we allow other people to go first, even when we assume positive intent, even when we seek to understand, then even when we own all that we can then take a moment to say, I'm so glad to hear all that. I'm really glad to understand where you were coming from. I do see your perspective, but I want to share now my perspective with you as well. So, and then we can get into kind of our side of the story and explaining maybe how we were disappointed or a feeling that we felt or how we felt unseen or whatever the thing is that brought us to the fight in the first place. So all I'm saying is if you're the one listening to this podcast, I want to invite you to start to grow in this way. I know that sometimes you have very challenging relationships and you're like, this person is not going to change, but you can change. And what's amazing about what you, when you change, is that things really do inevitably shift around you. If you consistently put into practice these kinds of things in your relationships, things do begin to shift around you. And it's like a shift that you'll never want to go back from, because you're like, oh my gosh, what is this feeling I feel? That feeling you feel is freedom. Because the integrity of being aligned, which we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, the integrity of being aligned with like your feelings and your thoughts, and also just having the ability to let and enter in with relationships the way that we're describing today, is so freeing and has so much integrity. Your body, your heart, your mind, and spirit are actually in alignment, that you truly can be the very, very best version of yourself. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Love you. Love your life. Write into me. Let me know what's going on, how I can help you. Nicole at NicoleEunice.com. You are the best. We will talk next week. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole at NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.